Okay, gentlemen, we're live again, so we can pick up where we left off.
All right, so in the workbook on page 7, spent a few minutes with regard to what's referred to as overhead and ER&R, but I guess what I would start by saying is to emphasize when I talk about the color money and the sort of the three circles of it is about, what I'm going to say is about the relationship of the county operation and the use of the road fund for it.
What does E and R and R stand for?
Equipment Rental and Revolving Fund.
Oh, okay.
Fleet. And thank you for asking. First, you know, there's any number of county funds that are out there that each have their own restrictions and or uses, revenue sources, what have you. Excuse me. All of which clearly can be used to support a variety of functions within county government, especially those things from an internal service standpoint that you've decided from a business management standpoint, it's better for everybody to share the cost. Office space is a pretty common one where you have a facility function and everybody's paying their fair share. The issue there with regard to road fund and any other special revenue fund is fair share. And there has to be clearly documented and periodically reviewed what does fair share mean? And are you paying attention that fair share this year is the same as next year or does it need to change? Because cost versus benefit needs to be as close as possible. I don't think there's anybody that would suggest that you have to absolutely prove your case. But it's got to be based on a reasonable analysis that I would refer to it as a straight face test. Can I look in the mirror and go, yeah, that makes sense. This year, anyways. ER&R is, in essence, exactly the same thing, except there's a unique statutory basis for ER&R, Equipment Rental Revolving Fund. And that is, it was put in place by the legislature as a requirement for counties to create an ER&R fund for the purposes of improving business practices in managing road fleets. The scenario in some situations where okay, we can't do any road work this year because this is year we're going to have to use the entire road fund revenue to buy trucks. Bad business model. So the legislature said, you shall put in place this business model. Oh, and by the way, other than road, you may also use it for other county fleet and functions. You may. You shall use it for road purposes. You may use it for most anything else. This is where, for a county that is using it only for a road purpose, and I'm not even sure there is one of those anymore. There wouldn't be many if there are. The issue that I talked about earlier about the protection of the road fund is once there's another user of those services, the internal accounting and management must take into account, is the road fund appropriately being protected and used only for its benefit? I'll give you a common scenario that occurs around the state. In fleet management, you establish rates for this class of vehicles, that class of vehicles, for that kind of a service. And as budgets change, as years go by, rental rates tend to change. And sometimes because it is, can we reduce the rate for the next year because our budget's tight? Well, the answer is, well, sure you can, but did you go through the analysis of is then one department underpaying in comparison to the road contribution? If that's true and that practice continues, then you cannot avoid the road fund finding a way that the road fund then would be subsidizing that other function. It's not necessarily an overnight thing, because there's lots of reasons why to make adjustments in what people are paying or rental rates or what have you. It's just good business practice. But you need to be paying attention so you can see how is that affecting the road share, the road benefit in comparison to the others. The only other thing that I would, I guess, really highlight with regard to fleet management, ER&R, is it is a challenge for most folks to understand the notion of why do I need to buy the vehicle and give it to you. Fleet management is about I want to hire, in essence, fleet management, ER&R, to save me money and manage my vehicle for me. Therefore, to do that, I must buy the vehicle and give it to them to manage. But that's what it is. I'm giving it to them to manage. It's still technically my vehicle. They are managing it for me. And the only expectation that the ER&R side of the house really has there is, as long as my customer is covering their cost, life is good. Sometimes that means, depending on the situation, that a normal fleet operation is going to include, the cost is going to include fuel, repair, maintenance, and money being set aside for the replacement of that vehicle in the future. That's the overall business, good business practice. However, even though saying that, there's nothing illegal about, I would like to hire you for fuel and repair and maintenance. I don't want to give you money for a future replacement. I will take care of that myself at some time. Again, one of the problems that has occurred around the state more than once is those that made that practical decision for a short-term reason, 10 years later, it's, well, why can't you buy that vehicle for me? I've been paying the ER&R for 10 years. Oh, no, don't you remember? You put it in here only to cover your cost. I haven't been collecting enough money to replace it. Yeah, but you got money in the bank. Why can't you just do it? Because I might be using the road fund share of the money that has just been built up in the account. It is those concepts on, you know, sitting around the table having conversations with various departments is difficult at times. It can get very testy because most people see how much money is in the bank as compared to what has been my financial relationship with the fund over time. And I'm expecting you and every other county state to have that very difficult conversation from time to time to try to explain that situation. And it's about protection of the road fund again, as I mentioned earlier. Questions?
Just as a practical example on that, so recently we added the sheriff's deputies, so with that, they all keep some kind of vehicle. So they each have to have a vehicle. So a vehicle comes with that budget, so that they choose to basically use the county fleet services to do what Jeff's saying is to service and maintain their vehicle. So they pay the initial cost, so they have the initial budget of purchasing that vehicle, and then part of what they pay us to do the service includes that replacement value. So they're adding money in each time they pay their rental rate, so that when that vehicle, and the sheriff's office is a high user, so they tend to, I think we have 110,000 miles or something like that, is there around their threshold or certain age, then the vehicle needs to be replaced. So the idea is that over that period of time, enough money has been collected in that fund so that when it's time to replace that vehicle, we already have the money, and it just continues on over and over and over again. So there's things that they want to add to the vehicle. Maybe something has changed, then that ends up being an additional cost, and they pay that cost.
So do I understand correctly that the road funds through the Public Works Department purchases all of the fleet for all the vehicles for the county, and all the other users pay that back?
Yes.
I'm not sure. Road would buy any vehicle, any equipment that is going to be used by Road.
Okay.
The individual, the sheriff's office would need to purchase the vehicle, i.e. the general fund, contributed to ERNR for ERNR to manage it on behalf of the sheriff. The money has to come from the sheriff originally.
Yes, but all of that, the management of that fleet is under the care of the Public Works.
Yes, we worked out so we provide this. So basically the sheriff will say, we want this type of vehicle, and then we go through our state contract and we purchase it for them to their specifications, and they pay for it.
Yeah, it's an economies of scale thing. You wouldn't want to have two fleet managers and two shops. So we get better value by having one fleet manager for the whole county.
Is the presentation going to include something about diversion?
The very next topic, I believe.
We can, yes.
One thing I'd like to mention on the ERNR side is in the county that I, one of the counties that I worked in Ponderay County during my term there, we changed sheriffs. And with the changing of the sheriff came a new philosophy in vehicles. And where we had been buying Crown Victorias at a fairly good clip because of our high deer population at the time, and it was not uncommon to have several vehicles, possibly in the shop for repairs at any one time. New sheriff comes in, instantaneously changes the philosophy in what his vehicle preference would be. He wanted Ford Expeditions, fully, gated up in the front and lots of gear in the back and all of this. Something on the neighborhood of about almost twice what we were expecting as replacements for the Crown Victoria. And the discussion got heated, I guess, at the board meeting when we sat down with the numbers and we said, okay, we can buy three Expeditions to replace six Crown Victorians. And that was a concept that was somewhat foreign to our new sheriff. And once we sat down and explained it to him, we said, we can do this for you. If you want to go beyond that, there will be an additional surcharge on top of all of that. And we made it work over a two-year period for him. But it was pretty tough. It was a pretty tough sell when on a moonless night in November, he went out and hit an elk with a brand new Ford Expedition and almost put it in the river. And it had about 1,100 miles on the odometer. And he came to me and says, I need another one. And I said, it's going to cost you. That's all I could say. But those are some of the pitfalls that come with the ERNR.
On the side of the ERNR, we also pay out of our road fund. We give the money, the sheriff money. Is that besides, is not part of this program?
I think that's the diversion that you mentioned.
That's our next stop.
That's a separate piece from the fleet part. But I think, Jeff, you were
going to
touch on that.
We're going to spend a little bit of time on that within the context of traffic law enforcement. Because it's also, and how do you pay for it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You want me to start, or do you want to start?
So basically, I'm going to have Jay start with the basic concepts of diversion and payment. stuff. Let's get that kind of hammered out first, and then we'll transition to the special case of traffic law enforcement, which is what most counties use diversion for.
Because of the constitutional amendment and the statutory protection of property tax as well as the motor vehicle fuel tax, the state's always been very, very careful about how counties account for the expenditure of those road fund dollars. Basically, that's Crabb's reason for being. Now, one of the road purposes that are enumerated in the 18th Amendment is traffic enforcement. Now, the counties have an interesting issue because you have roads in the unincorporated county. Some of you, some of the counties contract with small cities for police protection. There's an issue about, can you use a diverted dollar? Can you use traffic enforcement that belongs to the county on a city street? Does the contract reimburse it and that kind of thing? And further is that the County Road Fund is under the sole and singular administration of the legislative authority on, and it is a separate budget, and yet the sheriff's deputies are paid out of current expense, as you, well know. So if you're going to take a dollar from County Road and put it over to current expense for a highway purpose, how do you do that, maintain the tracking and the accountability that's necessary for that 18th Amendment if you're using fuel tax or even property taxes to do it? And it works like this. You can divert county property tax revenues from the levy that you set for purposes of traffic policing patrol only if that amount is set into a prior specially named account within the current expense fund, and then the expenditures of the sheriff's deputies are made out of that. That is a true diversion. And the reason it is called a diversion is that dollar is separated from, that comes in off your road taxes, separated for traffic policing purposes. It never actually enters the road fund. It is not an expenditure of the road fund. It is diverted in the treasurer's office under the authority of your budget resolution, and it is in a discrete dollar amount. It goes into that fund and current expense for traffic policing patrol, and the sheriff can use that for the payment of the deputies. That is a diversion. Now, there is also the issue of a levy shift. And in this one is the shifting of actual taxing authority between your current expense fund and the road fund, and it works like this. Your county road fund, that taxing district, as Jeff told you earlier, is restricted to the unincorporated area of the county only, and that goes to county roads. The general fund, your current expense fund, is countywide, including the incorporated municipalities within the county. The law allows you to transfer if, in fact, you have capacity within the levy stack, and that's different in every county. I don't have yours with me. You want to talk to your assessor about that, which you share with all the rest of the junior taxing districts within your county as well as state schools. If there is capacity within that levy stack, you can shift authority from county road to current expense. And the reason why some counties do that is because now if you shift, let's say, basically 10 cents of authority from the area that is the unincorporated area into the general fund authority, now you're taxing countywide, including the what's inside of incorporated cities within your county. Now you see how you made your dime bigger? There have been in times past when the levy stacks in some counties made this possible, and I believe it was Snohomish County that was able to do it. They did a levy shift from county road to current expense. It went from a smaller value to a higher value, and they were able to pay back in actual dollars the amount that would have brought in had it been left in the current in the county road fund. Now, that is a levy shift. The difference between the two is that the diversion, the dollar, never actually goes, although it is collected for purposes for county roads. It's going to be used for traffic policing patrol. It never actually goes to the county road fund, and there's never an expenditure from it. The shift is actually a shift of taxing authority from one taxing district to another, and it has two distinct benefits. One is it can bring in more dollars to the current expense side than it would on the county road side. That's one, and that's always looked at. The second one is you can do that legally under the statutes of this state without surrendering RAP eligibility, Rural Arterial Program eligibility, which is important to a lot of counties, including Clark. If you divert for any reason other than traffic policing patrol, generally, then you will sacrifice or you will surrender the RAP eligibility under a diversion that is not for traffic policing control. And a levy shift can be used for any general government purpose, not just traffic policing control. There are a lot of engineers out there that hate me to tell you that, but I just told you that.
So when we do that, is there a formula?
There is a formula. Well, it's not necessarily a formula, but first you go and you find out if you have that levy shift now. If one is going to contemplate a levy shift, first you ask the question to your assessor, is there even capacity, because you cannot levy shift and force any kind of proration in the junior taxing district. So there are some counties that don't have the capacity to do a levy shift. The levy shift may be the capacity that's in there may be determined by the levy stack itself. And if there's plenty of capacity in there, the statute limits them to
247.5
maximum. Right. Added to the current spend.
Added to current.
So it goes from 180 to that.
I want the diversion.
Diversion, there's no limit to, but it must be used for traffic policing control, but basically those purposes. Now, there is big D's and little D's. Did you want to get into that?
Could I clarify one thing?
Sure.
As far as diversion as well? The statute that gives you the authority to divert a portion of the road levy to an account in the general fund, that statute says very clearly you may divert, in essence, any amount of the road levy and put it into the special account so long as that money that is diverted is used for any purpose serving the unincorporated area. Any purpose. Oh, by the way, however, there's another statute, i.e. the rural arterial program, that says, oh, and by the way, unless you're the one of the smallest counties in the state, if you divert road levy for anything other than a road purpose, you lose RAP eligibility. It's your choice.
There are some counties that are not heavy participators in RAP, or that may in fact be an inducement. I would say this in terms of diversion. That is one of the questions I'm asked more by individual legislators than anything else. How many of the counties are diverting, and how much are they diverting? And if they continue to divert, what's the reason for me to give them more gas tax? So it is being watched. We're being asked. And my response to that is, I don't know how anybody feels about diversion, but the Constitution and the statute says that traffic policing and patrol is in fact a road purpose. And as I'm sure you remember, where the state patrol gets its funding, it's from the fuel tax. And I also explained to most legislators that the best safety device that I know of in my car is a red and blue light in the rear view mirror that's not turned on yet. I'm very careful when I see that warning. And I think most people are in the state. There are some people, or there is a notion out there that somehow CRAB is against a diversion. Frankly, no. A diversion is a legal statutory means, and it places the flexibility of that decision in your hands far more than in mine. That's where it actually belongs. You know the needs in your county. Our responsibility to the legislature is to help you make sure that if you do that or the shift, that you do it with statutory correctness, and you are able to withstand the audit that will follow, because it certainly will. And we spend a lot of time with counties making sure. And for some, they don't feel they have a choice. And they in fact may not. I led a diverting county. We had three back-to-back murder trials with a population of less than 30,000. Try funding that. And but there are ways of doing it legally, and we're it's part of our job. And if you make that decision, it's your decision to make, then we will help you stay very clear and very clean of those audit trails. Yes?
You referred to RAP eligibility. What does RAP stand for?
Rural Arterial Program. It's a construction program that we provide to the counties, and it goes out regionally to, was it five regions of the
five
state?
Five regions of the state.
You compete only against counties within your region. And it's they're highly sought after, because right now, your dime buys you a dollar of construction ability.
How many RAP projects do you have? Maybe
we have three in design right now. The last one we completed was out on Highway 99, where we corrected a road slide. It was a pretty bad section of road that was slipping away. And you drive out north of the center, you can see those improvements. It was very expensive. We could have done it without the RAP.
Who else is in our region?
In the southeast altogether.
Southwest,
yeah.
Everybody from Grays Harbor, Mason, Thurston, Lewis, Pacific, Wakayakum, Cowlitz, Clark, and Skamania.
Skamania.
Wow. That's the test.
I guess.
Thank you.
But we also use RAP funds if we have an emergency situation. A few years ago, we lost Welcome Hall Road, and we use emergency RAP funds to rebuild that.
That is one of the things to consider with RAP eligibility. A county may not have anything programmed for RAP, but that also takes them out of consideration for the emergency fund, because the RAP dollars are the only ones we have available for emergency. And if you're not eligible, you can't apply. And those can be very, very important. The other thing, since you asked about the program, it is a construction program, and that is only in the area of your in your rural area. It is not within your urban area. TIB dollars go for that. We're in the federally designated rural by a decision of the legislature.
Must be on an arterial as well. It cannot be a local access road. So it's got to be a major or minor collector.
Other than bridges,
yes.
So no, I'll hand it off.
Yeah, we're going to focus a little bit back on traffic law enforcement as it relates to diversion. First thing to note is there is no definition of traffic law enforcement in RCW or WAC. The only citation of the concept is in the 18th Amendment. The state constitution talks about a highway purpose also includes policing of public highways. So that's where we try to kind of follow the link down to the use of the road fund. So when we're talking about diverting for the purposes of traffic law enforcement, we've got two-pronged tests. One, the 18th Amendment test, which is it a highway purpose? And two, the road levy test, is it provided for the benefit of those that are incorporated in areas of the county? So if your sheriff is utilizing diverted road funds for traffic law enforcement, yeah, it must be direct benefit to the county road system, and you must be doing it in the unincorporated area of the county. We've had a recent question about whether or not if the sheriff's doing that primarily on the state highways within the unincorporated area of the county, is that legitimate? And after considerable discussion, we think that's legitimate. It is a service in the unincorporated area of the county. So there's probably no use in distinction between the county road and the state highway. If he were to be spending a lot of his time doing enforcement inside city limits, we got an issue, because that is not the unincorporated area of the county.
Well, I have a question.
Highway.
I think when I think the word highway, I think above some threshold, some larger than some city's street. But it sounds like the definition for a highway is any public road, regardless of the size.
Correct. For the purposes of the way they wrote the amendment, public highway is a public road.
The courts have held that, although the public perception may be that a highway is state ownership, a road is county ownership, a street is city ownership, and a lot of the public do perceive it that way, that the 18th Amendment of the Constitution includes roads and city streets within the definition and the legal 18th Amendment definition of highway. It means a public thoroughfare currently open to travel by the public. The jurisdiction is without, never mind in that regard.
Thank you. So in order to start the process of utilizing county road funds for traffic law enforcement, primarily counties would utilize the diversion process. That process occurs during your budget cycle, when you're making your budget decisions, and you would make a decision, a business decision, to divert a dollar amount, not a rate, but a dollar amount. That's what you set in your budget. And in the analysis done by the state auditor and Department of Revenue and in copious consultation with Jeff and others in our office, the way they test it to see if that fits or holds is the way we test it by applying the 18th Amendment and the road levy test to the use of the money. So, has to be a discrete dollar amount, cannot be a levy rate, because diversion is not a taxing authority, it is not a taxing function. Diversion is a business decision to be applied to money that is collected by a taxing decision and then diverted to a separate account than the original purpose of the account, which is the road fund. So, you can use, and we don't, a lot of counties utilize a rate for as a business practice during the year to transfer money on a recurring basis. And that is fine. We wouldn't argue that point, but it is ultimately not a rate decision. It is a discrete dollar amount decision. So at the end of an annual cycle, you would need to go back and reconcile to make sure that you adjusted prior to closing out. If you over-diverted, you'd have to adjust back and cross them back to the road fund. If you under-diverted, you could then take that step to bump up to your earlier stated diversion amount so that you didn't under-divert. Documentation. So, in order to satisfy the state auditors and frankly our review of proper use of the road fund, there must be at least a minimal amount of documentation as to the use by the sheriff of the road fund for proper traffic policing, traffic law enforcement purposes for that year. So you must keep some sort of records, time records and location records, something like that, in order to satisfy a basic state auditor's audit. And basically the level and the detail of the information really has to do with what functions did he decide to provide. If all he's doing is basic traffic stops and he's not doing anything else creative, then the amount of information required to satisfy that is pretty minimal. If you're trying to be all more creative, then it might require some additional very specific documentation. And again, this is all about when we're talking about our interest in Crab's interest in the use, proper use of the road fund, traffic enforcement. It circles around back to the rural arterial program eligibility, because not only do you, if you choose to do something other with money or in the use of it, anything other than inadvertently misuse it, you surrender RAP eligibility. You also suffer a penalty of paying anything back that happens during that cycle. So it's just, it could be a kind of question.
Definition for rural, is it outside city limits or outside the rural boundary?
For the purposes of this issue, it is outside the unincorporated areas.
Outside of the
incorporated.
Outside the incorporated areas. Outside Excuse me. Yes, outside city limits.
One of the interesting things in the lexicon, there is a definition for urban. There is really no definition for what is rural. What you might call rural in Clark County, for instance, in Pottery County, they may call remote. There is no real definition of it. But as far as the counties and the taxing authority, it stops at that city limits. And as far as, and I'll make the distinction, you heard me say before, the federally designated rural area of the county, that is a line which is drawn by the census when that comes out, and it is described by that boundary line, not by a narrative definition. That's why we're always 2 or 3 years late, because it takes them a while to get that, you know, off of that. When it comes to traffic policing, it's just outside the city limits is all that is required for the rural arterial program is in the federally designated rural area of the county. Now, we also have a question or an invitation out for comment by current boards of commissioners, counselors, and whatnot. We have suggested some WAC language. We were directed by our board to develop some, because as what has just occurred in this room, we tend to get a lot more questions about diversion, shift, and direct payment than we do about any other aspect. And it's in those aspects where the inadvertence often occur. So we have been asked to develop some kind of sideboards for guidance in the form of a standard good practice in WAC. Those are currently in your office. Did we send it by letter or by email to the counties, or both?
Both.
I think it was both, too. Check your emails, check your inbox. If it isn't in hard copy, it should be on there. And we're asking for you to have the conversation, basically, that we're having now with your sheriff, with your management team, which includes your county engineer, your public works director, your county administrator, any one of whom is probably smarter than the four of us put together, and then give us the best view and the best cut of, are these going to work for Clark County, or, you know, whatever suggestions you might have for changes. We'd be very happy to see those. And we certainly invite your comments.
My last comments will be that with regard to traffic law enforcement, the two main ways that counties fund traffic law enforcement activities are one through normal diversion process or direct payment for reimbursement for services rendered. When I was at Grant County, that's how we did it. We budgeted a certain amount for traffic law enforcement, and on a quarterly basis, the Sheriff's Department billed the County Road Department. Along with that billing came sufficient documentation as to the use, along with a fair amount of statistical information about their contacts and, you know, what they were doing out in the field. And then that satisfied my requirement as the county engineer, who is responsible to certify each bill of expenditure on the road fund to the Board of Council. You can do it either by diversion or you can do it by reimbursement.
Whether it's done by diversion or done by direct payment, I have always strongly recommended that if either is going to occur, I suggest that the legislative authorities have a working agreement, basically a contract, with the Sheriff's Office for the services that will be provided. And you really, for one thing, or two things really, is to help with the audit trail, and two, is that everybody's expectations are public, they're known, and they're on top of the table. And as you go through your regular budget process, you can take a look at that agreement, if you have one, and update it, change it, take things out, whichever it is that will benefit your county. When I was turning loose the dollars that are generally raised for the purposes of roads, and I don't mean road purposes, but I mean the purpose of building roads, the striping, the plowing, the ditching, everything else, and I was going to use it for anything else, I wanted a very clear audit trail, not for me, but for my constituents, so that they knew where the money would go. And if it was plain to me, obviously it could be made very plain to them, and I thought that was a responsibility that I owed and an accountability that I owed. I will say this, in the state of Washington, if you're going to be killed on a public highway, on a public road, the chances are in this state it will be on a county road, because our roads tend to be two-lane. Cars are coming basically at head-on. We do not have the police presence, nor can we afford to. If we diverted everything from county road to the sheriff's office, we wouldn't have enough money to put enforcement out there at the level that the cities of the state have on the roads that they have. And so, consequently, the deaths will be occurring on county roads, and they tend to be younger drivers. Because of that lack of policing, and two, when it involves younger drivers, it normally involves speed and alcohol. So, no, I do not begrudge the sheriff on those county roads or those state highways in the rural area of my county at all. The lives they saved were my constituents, and perhaps even my own. Now, there may be others that would lament that, but I'm happy that he saved my life, too.
We provide some model documents for the use of developing those agreements. So if you're interested, on our website there are model documents for a further.
Do you know if our county has a contract with our sheriff's office? We do.
Good.
I think about half the counties utilize some form of an agreement.
Refresh my memory. Where freight mobility, when money comes from, and how that might be able to be used or take care of Clark County with our railroad.
Okay, the Freight Mobility Board, as you know, is kind of like one of our sister boards. And it was developed by the legislature to deal with freight choke points specifically. That largely, not always, but it is usually within an urban area, and it deals with grade separations with, you know, railroads, drawbridges, of, you know, in Seattle. I think Freight had some money in the South Park Bridge, I think, that they contributed to that. Now, it doesn't take place in a vacuum, in the same way that ours do not. You know, FEMSIP is quite aware of what we do. We have offered a sacrificial lamb in the presence of Jeff Munson to review objectively from outside the agency project requests. So we are aware of what they're doing. They are aware, because of the kind of work they do, of the work that we do, and because I sit statutorily, I'm the only statutorily mandated member of the Transportation Improvement Board who is not term limited. Those, we may be small boards and we may have very unique niche programs, but we are not without communication of each other. And the money for the Freight Mobility Strategic Investment Board is a function of the budget of the state legislature. They do not have, with the exception of the money they got from highway safety funds, they did not have an identified funding source other than just the general fuel tax that is handled by budget going out. Ours is dedicated to RAP. We have part that's dedicated to CAP. And the highway safety account money, although it is not, doesn't come into the CAP fund, it is administered by direction of the legislature under our CAP rules. That's why when that was voted, we were able to put those two projects within 4 weeks, and construction began within the governor's signature on that bill.
Something I would supplement the response to the question is that in putting a financial plan together for a project, it's fairly common that part of what you're doing is looking at what is the financial source and when in the project would potentially realize the revenue coming in. Mm-hmm. It is very common for a county in the rural arterial grant program to use it, as they refer to, as the first dollar, design process, etc., as they're kind of pulling together the rest of the financing package. Freight Mobility, on the other hand, is clearly a last dollar funder. Successful applicants in that program are ones that we need this last few dollars to make this project go. If you ask for the first dollar, I wouldn't hold my breath.
What are the partners?
Yeah, the question is, what are the partners, and are you asking for money that finishes your financial plan? Not
first in.
They don't deal an applicant that is speculating on financing a project will not rate well in that program.
Yeah. The source of funds that CRAB administers, are they all of them with fuel tax?
Currently, all of RAP is, currently all of CAP is, we do have some money that we get, it's $10 million a biennium from the highway safety account, which is not fuel, okay? One of the things that I have great concern with the revenue packages which are proposed before the legislature, the money coming to the counties, whether it comes to CRAB or through CRAB or comes by direct distribution, are basically flex funds. They're coming from fees, and they're identified at this point as to what source. That's yet to be worked out. That's part of what the legislature is working on. But they are not 18th Amendment protected dollars. And because of that, I fear the potential dilution. And as I said before, it is not that transit is less important than roads. But they, unless you're light rail, they run on roads. That bus can't run unless that road is in good functional condition with the capacity to handle a mix of buses and other kinds of vehicles. It starts with the road first. I fear the possible further diversion or dilution of what is a true road dollars if, in fact, it's not 18th Amendment gas tax dollars. And obviously, that is a policy decision that the legislature is, you know, is facing now, and whatever they decide, we salute and we'll go on from there. But what they're hearing from me is that the traditional, classic, county, road, regional surface transportation system is most greatly protected and most speedily advanced by 18th Amendment protected gas tax dollar.
So the legislature determines what percentage or what portion of our existing gas taxes will be funding into this program?
Yes, they do. And although they don't make that decision on a biennial basis, we have in statute now a described, it's a decimal amount. I mean, it is a percentage amount of the gas tax, which by law must go to the County Road Administration Board after certain deductions come off the top. And we're one of those deductions. There is an amount of money which is held back every year from fuel tax that goes for administration and regulation. DOT gets it in behalf of the cities. CRAB gets 36% of that, basically, that if it was a dollar held back, we'd get 36 cents of it to handle administration of what we do for the counties. And then we get a small percentage that comes off the top of both RAP and CAP. Our board has often said the legislature can give you whatever the legislature decides, but in our name, you will never ask for more than 3%. That is what we say is the amount, and we are currently, across all of our funds, we're operating at about 1.7. So we're very proud of that. We're one of the best bang for bucks in Olympia. TIB is very close to that. PIMSIB is very close to that. We're giving you a good bang for your buck. Because we are funded off of what is the county share of the gas tax, we believe that the resources that are available to us in Olympia, you have already paid for. That means our offices, our computer system, and everything that we make available from there back to your county, your public works department, your county road department. Consequently, our ability to do the road log, which is based in mobility, that was totally developed and coded in-house. We host all of that data on the servers at CRAB, so if there's a problem, we can fix it without having to go out to an individual county. You people supply the data, we receive it, but the mobility, which has a street value now, I'm guessing, approaching about $2.4 million in just a development asset of it. We provide to the counties at no cost. We provide to you. We believe you've already paid for it. Now, there are some other agencies, some federal, some including the tribes, forest roads, and so forth, that say we would really like to use that, and we'd say we'd really like to share it. Bring your checkbook, and you pay your share of what the counties have already paid for, and we may let you in the door, too. It is used as a model. We don't share the coding, but mobility is used as a model to develop what was done across the river with your friends in Oregon as well. And we trade information back and forth. And currently, how we do it in mobility, and prior to that, what was the old
Chris
was the old AREV information system, has been investigated by 13 other states on both sides of the Mississippi. So what we do is well known, and the value that we add to the work that your counties do is seen and respected nationwide. We have come to the end of our pages here. I imagine we're probably coasting over into your lunchtime, but we'd be happy to take any additional questions, and we would be happy to return at any time convenient to you and to your staff. And I'd like to thank you for the generosity of your time.
I want to thank you and let you know and let everybody in this room know how important Crabport is to Clark County. They've been on the chopping block off and on as far as I can remember, and it's very, very scary. This is one of our main ports of revenue to our road construction, and we need to stand beside them and protect you with our legislators.
And every time that has come up before the legislature, Clark County has stood very solidly with us. Your history with County Road Administration Board is very intimate. The last representative from the board here was Commissioner Bolt. Prior to Bolt, it was Commissioner Stanton. Prior to Stanton was John Mignano. I can't remember off the top of my head how many of the others. But we have a long history, and we thank you for the solidity of that support.
I have two questions. One, if we want to be able to find out what the county's share, or should I say the county's tax dollar, gas tax dollars, that we're contributing to the state each year, Is there a table or is there a list? How do we find out what that is?
Actually, there no longer is, because the tax technically is not collected at the pump. It's collected at the rack, and there are only so many of them in the state. So your distributors, although when we back up there and we see those, you know, those dials going around on the pumps, it's showing that price, including the gas tax. Before that gas has reached the pump, the tax has already been paid at the rack. The distributor is reimbursing that, is really what's going on. DOT has done, and I can vouch for the ballpark closeness of it, is they have a formula by which they'll say, there are so many gallons purchased in the county, there that would raise so many dollars in the county if the tax were in fact at the local level rather than at the rack level, and that would, that means that this much is coming off to the state, and then they will tell you, and we can track very closely how many dollars are coming back into the county. With the exception of King, Spokane, I think there are four
Pierce,
and I believe Snohomish, the chances are that, just, and this is my memory working here, the chances are that you're receiving more dollars back into your county than you would be sending to the state coffers and all that. Because of where the racks are located.
To be able to know what Southwest Washington's share is. For instance, in the transportation funding package that our legislature has been considering, it appears that we ended up with, even if you consider $99 million for something that is a mystery project that nobody seems to know what it's about, we end up with a tiny fraction of what would be like $15 billion and we get a couple hundred million dollars max. It would be good to know what would our equitable share be able to find a source for that.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll make a note to ourselves and we'll see if there's somebody in the data office over the DOT or whether or not that's been updated. I know the last one that I had is now in excess of 10 years old and would no longer apply to current situations. If there's a new one out there, we'll see if we can get one to you and be happy to do it.
Is there anything that's being proposed in the current transportation funding package that would provide more funds into the accounts stewarded by grant?
Currently there are, and they are flex funds at this point, and that's as far as they have identified, and that usually means fees and things other than motor vehicle fuel tax. And it is to the tune of
$54 million
over 16 years. It's divide that by 39 counties. This really isn't much, but it's more than nothing. I would say this, because of the chances of where an injury, accident, or fatality is going to occur over the 40,000 miles of road, those 3,000 miles of bridges, and frankly, that amount of money on just a percentage basis is not enough. It is also not enough if we're ever going to reach target zero in this state. It just flatly is. Target zero is the fact that the state, with the Federal Highways Administration, is targeting a year in the future when we will have zero fatality occurring in the state. That's the target. That's why it's called target zero. Is it achievable? I doubt it. Is it a bad goal? No. We want to save every life we can and hope to get to zero. But we will never get there if we don't address those safety concerns and capacity concerns on what you have on the county surface transportation system, which is greater in mileage than the state and the cities combined. 40,000 miles is a lot of roads.
I just want to thank you so very much.
Thank you for having
me. The healthy culture that you have and all that you're doing, that you really are a partner with the counties across the state, and just a great example of how a state entity could work. you're the poster child. Thank you.
Thank you for having us. Anytime you're in Olympia, stop by. Jeff will put the copy on if it isn't on already.
I would also just like to thank Craft folks for coming down. Really appreciate it. We work very closely with them. They're much more of a teammate than anything else. And also I want to really thank the staff that are in the seats today, because they're the folks that actually do the work. I think if you ask them, they tell you I don't do a whole lot. between our engineering and finance folks. So thank them as well.
And we will make sure it's understood too, that for public works staff, that at least a couple of us will hang around as much during the afternoon as you want to continue our conversation, because we'd like to make sure we tell your staff what we really think about you. So.
On the table.
That
shows
2010. Oh, yeah, we did that, yeah.
Oh, yeah, one much more recent than the one
on. Dollars. Our county is at 0.88, so
you're almost there.
We get less back.
Yeah.